Hello, everyone. I'm Alex, and I'm here with my husband, Shane, and we are so glad that you could join us for Happy Hour on this Family Tree podcast, episode 205.
Yeah.
205, and I've got something that I'm excited to share with you guys because it's an exciting thing in my life, honestly, right now. Shane doesn't even realize, he's giving me a look. He doesn't even realize how exciting.
Is it about your period?
This is, no, what? Not my exclamation point, Shane, but it is a very exciting thing for me. So last week, we went out for my dad's birthday, had a really lovely dinner. Everybody had a couple glasses of wine. We're feeling good. And we started talking about books and reading, right? And I just popped the question to Shane.
I do.
You did say I do, but it wasn't. We're obviously already married. I asked you if you would be interested in reading A Court of Thorns and Roses, the series.
There's five books so far. Did you ask me or did I suggest that I read it?
No, I was like, you should read it. And you're like, okay, I'll read anything.
Yeah, I'll read it.
So, Shane, I cannot tell you how excited I am. Mainly because then we're in the same house and I will have somebody who's read the book in the same house as me so then I could talk to you about theories and stuff. But also because I think it's like a nice insight to like romance. Mm-hmm. I think it'll give you romantic feelings too. But Shane, I want to know what you think your hypothesis is for this book, like for your reading journey.
Is that the way to word it? What yes. My hypothesis is?
Yes. Like, what is your hypothesis? Do you think that you're going to enjoy it? Do you think you're going to have to force yourself through the series and it'll be a struggle? Do you think you just flat out won't enjoy it?
So hypothesis is a prediction based on nothing.
Correct.
That's what a hypothesis is.
A hypothesis
oh,
is
like, I thought it was a hypothesis is like based on like your opinion based on some lived thing and then you try to prove it or disprove it.
Well, it's like before an experiment. So like if we're treating this like an experiment. So it's like a question you ask before an experiment.
Okay.
And then you do the experiment and then you get your answer.
My hypothesis is like I watch reality shows. So mm-hmm. I'm that type of person. I can enjoy things that other people can't. Like mm-hmm. I can go on a cruise. A lot of people, they can't enjoy a cruise because there's something cheesy about it.
Yeah.
I have a huge value for cheesy people, cheesy experiences. Like I find value in places that other people don't. And I would say that is a bit of a flex, I guess.
It is
and
a flex.
I'm not a person to even use that expression.
That's cheesy in itself.
Yeah. But that's kind of my thing.
Yeah. So, okay, like...
So I'll enjoy it to answer the question.
Yeah, like reality TV, I'd say this is like the candy of books. It's just all fun, all adventure, all romantic tingles, mm-hmm. all of that. You know what I mean?
I do get very confused. Like, it's hard for me to follow a plot.
You know, the nice thing about this series in particular, it's not that complicated.
Okay.
Then and if you have questions, I know it inside and out right now, so I'd be able to help. But I am so excited for this. And I want to document this on Reels and on TikTok because I think people are going to get a kick out of a husband's take on this whole thing because it's huge in like the world of moms and the mom sphere and the woman sphere. So I think it's going to open up a cool door to questions and, you know, new takes on things.
Okay. Yeah. Just don't release anything until it's done.
What do you mean?
Don't film something and then put it out and then 2 years later put out the next thing. Just like film it and archive it.
No. I want to do it as you go along. This is what I was hoping. Like when you read, you know, you stumble across like a crazy thing that happens in one chapter. I want your take as you're reading it.
Okay.
But and I think that'll be fascinating.
What I'm saying is you can film it as I read it. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying don't publish the material until it's done.
Oh, okay. Okay. Sounds good. I'll do that. As long as I get new raw experiences from reading, I'm happy. But Shane, one thing that I want to talk about today, because I've been struggling with it, I talked about it to Ariana last week a little bit, but it's sticking to child boundaries. So I had a situation this weekend. We know that Betty is having a tough time with not getting her way right now. And it's something that's kind of interfering with all of life. Like we'll be trying to get ready to go in the morning to school where, you know, being late for work is on the line. Having Lucy go late to school is on the line. And she has huge anxiety when she's late. And Betty wants to do things on her own. She's so independent. And I find that I personally struggle with, you know, when to let her do those things and when to just like pick her up crying, kicking and screaming and throw her in the car and try to strap her in and go. Whether it's a getting ready situation or whether we're out somewhere and she wants to do one thing and There's no time for that, or we want to do something else.
Yeah. What's the question?
The question is, how do you think is the best way to go about that? Or like, how do you handle it?
I always plan to leave earlier. Mm-hmm. So like the other day you left for swimming 10 minutes earlier than you normally would. And I thought that was good. Mm-hmm. And I think she just has to get used to maybe no more, because Betty suffers from cute privilege. So although Betty's almost 4, she almost acts like she's a cute little 2-year-old.
100%.
And people treat her that way. And she raises her arms a lot to be picked up. Mm-hmm. Whereas I found Lucy was a little bit more mature.
Well, think about it. Lucy, as a 2-year-old, had a newborn baby sister. So it's like, you know, I was always holding the baby sister. And Lucy kind of had to start doing those things on her own at 2.
Even before that. Lucy just has a completely different personality. Lucy has like a, it's bad to say Woody Allen, I guess, but she's neurotic in a way that makes you grow up a little bit. Whereas, you know, you kind of remind me of a kid a lot of the times. Like you still have a cuteness to you. You're still like, I think you're a very cute woman.
So I'm taking this as a compliment then. This sounds nice.
You could be offended. It can, like anything, it can be good in times. Like Lucy's being neurotic can be bad at times. Yeah. But the thing is, Lucy doesn't get babied as much. Mm-hmm. Because Lucy doesn't want to be babied as much. She doesn't allow herself to be picked up as much. Betty, if you tell her, no, Betty, we're leaving now, she'll go, you're mean to me, you're a monster. And then she'll want to be made to feel better. So if she does something wrong, and you tell her she's doing something wrong, she thinks that you're being a bad person.
Yeah.
And then she wants you to make her feel better. And if you ask her to say sorry, that's another 10 minutes. So we have babied her too much. She likes being babied too much. Mm-hmm. She's very cute. She has very big eyes. She just has ways to manipulate people through her cuteness. So it's like a cute privilege that I think is getting old.
Well, I wonder how she's going to be at school next year, because right now at daycare, if I drop her off and she's having a tough morning, the teachers will just go up and pick her up and give her a big hug, and it helps settle her, right? Because that's what she likes to get settled. That's what she's used to. School, they're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to pick up kids. You're not allowed to be like that, right? You never see a teacher walking around with like a kid on their hip, but you do at daycare all the time. So I think that'll be interesting for her. And I think it'll be so good for her, and I think she will adapt. But I had a situation this weekend, and it was humiliating, much like the airport. And it's funny, because Betty is the sweetest kid for the majority of the time, and then she just flips and has a hard time, I guess, like controlling her emotions in these situations. So we're in Party City because we're planning a birthday party for Lucy right now. It's in 2 weeks. So we're in there. We're getting all this beach stuff, right, because we're having a beach party. And then Betty goes, Mommy, like, can I pick something out? And I said, yeah, like she wants something for her, because she knew it was all for Lucy. So she picked out this cup for $1, like, I don't know, some cup with characters on it. And then we're going to pay. And then she decides, oh, I should ask for something else. So she asked me for something else. And I said, no, Betty, that's all we're going to get for today. And then it slowly started to build into this massive tantrum. So by the time we were done paying Shane, she's on the floor by the door that people are coming in and leaving out of, like screaming and crying and telling me I'm the worst mommy in the whole wide world. And everybody is looking at us and everybody's hearing that I'm the worst mommy. And I was like, oh, like this is awful. There's an old lady standing by us and she was being really sweet. But Betty was making me seem like the biggest monster.
She called you a monster this weekend too.
I know. Over what? What was it?
It was nothing.
It was like I wouldn't give her a sugary thing. But yeah. So I just wanted her out of that store, because we were in there for 10 minutes, Shane. 10 minutes. I was trying to reason with her, let her have space, whatever, doing all these tactics I read about. And then I was like, I have to at this point. Lucy came up to me. She's like, Mommy, just let her get something. We have to go. And I was like, no, Lucy, I made this boundary firm. She's like, Mommy, she'll stop crying if you buy her something. And I was like, no, I'm holding this boundary because this is important to me. Mm-hmm. But then I had to pick her up and bring her out of the store, in which case she squiggled out of my arms, angry. But at least we're out of the store. And I just can't get her in the car. So I was like, okay, you know what? At least we're out of that store and I'm not buying her something in Party City. So I'm holding on to that boundary. But There's a Mastermind Toys two doors down. I saw these balls on sale there for $10. So do you guys want to go get a new ball? And then immediately both kids were like, yeah, let's go. We went. They didn't even want the ball. They got a $5 planter for plants that's shaped like a unicorn. So do you think that that demolished the boundary that I had?
Yeah, of course. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
See, I think it held the boundary because I wouldn't let her get anything in Party City.
Oh my goodness. So she she gets something somewhere else that's potentially better. That's all she wants. Everyone listening was like hitting themselves in the head when they're like, oh my goodness.
Shane, it was going on for 15 minutes. What do you do? How what would you have done?
Like, I understand it's grating when a kid's crying. It's annoying and potentially embarrassing. I'm so used to it. I don't care. Mm-hmm. Other people's judgment, it's like when I'm wearing sweatpants in public. I'm almost wearing an invisibility cloak.
Yeah.
I'm like, I know I look stupid and too comfortable, but no one can see me somehow because I know that I don't care so much that I'm giving myself a pass to mm-hmm. be humiliated and not even be recognized. So when a kid is crying, I'm like, this would be embarrassing had I had on my hat where I care. But mm-hmm. now I have my hat on. I've got my sweatpants on. My hair's disheveled. I'm acting like I don't care. Okay. And that's what I do. And I pick her up and she can punch me in the face and whatever. And I'm not embarrassed because I'm a Teflon parent and I've been through it all at that moment mm-hmm. in time.
Okay, but then on the other side, you have Lucy who's starting to get real cranky because she just wants to go home because she's done waiting for Betty, which we've now done like after we were outside for 15 minutes. So now she's starting to get cranky.
I laugh. When kids freak out, I laugh. And I never, like if you're doing that, obviously that would be absurd. But if you were freaking out in mm-hmm. public, that would be like impossible for me to handle. But the kids, it's like you almost look at another parent, you laugh. And if they're mean, if the person looks at you mean, you almost laugh at that. Mm-hmm. It's a comical situation in a way. So,
but just for getting life moving, like I didn't know how else to start life moving because yeah. we were just at a standstill, a crying standstill. My hands were full of bags and stuff. It was exhausting. I was just hoping that it wouldn't meant that I like totally dismantled my boundary.
You dismantled the boundary, but sometimes you have to dismantle the boundary as long as you know you dismantled the boundary and you work yeah. on it next time. Like, don't live in the disbelief that that was successful in keeping the boundary. It was successful in getting Betty out of there. And sometimes you have to do mm-hmm. it. Like, I'm the ultimate, like, oh, let's get a treat. Who wants ice cream? Mostly to change the topic more than anything.
Yeah.
And then sometimes, you know, I say, oh, we're getting ice cream later. And then we just never get it later because by the time it's ice cream time, they've forgotten about it and they don't bring it up. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it wasn't. What are you looking
at? Oh, nothing. Just looking at that.
Oh.
I was just looking
at that. That's all. Alex did the equivalent of looking at her watch while I was talking. So, scrolling on her phone as I'm dishing out hardcore parenting advice. No, I don't know. And she's also at that age where it's like this soon shall pass mm-hmm. age. Once she gets into four, you're a little bit, you got more brain points to understand things. I give her a little bit of a pass for freaking out. So I don't know.
She did start late on everything. So it's like her terrible twos are terrible threes. It's like she wasn't even able to talk until last winter. She could say words, but she would never string together sentences just because she like didn't want to. So really, I feel like she's going through her ultimate toddler terrible twos right now. I like to think that anyway. I like to hope that.
Yeah.
It's tricky. It does grate on me. I was exhausted by 4 o'clock yesterday, like ready for bed.
I have noticed that children screaming hurts your ears much more than mine.
No. Only...
Alex,
what?
You get so annoyed with kids screaming. It's your kryptonite. It's your kryptonite.
Wow.
Don't take offense to it.
I'm taking offense to it.
I'm not saying you're a worse parent. I'm not saying you're a bad mom. I'm saying you get annoyed more at kids screaming than me.
I think I put up with it more. I think I'm dealing with it more than you.
I'm wondering why.
Because three nights a week, you're not home.
Oh, the kids are screaming when you're home?
Well, no, but they might.
Now you are the worst. They're never screaming when I'm home alone.
No, but I just think it's like everything that's going into it. And then when they scream, it's like what did I do to deserve this? I'm with you all the time doing amazing things for you all the time.
So 7 mornings a week, I'm with them. 4 nights a week. I'm telling you, I know you want to create this inequitable thing where you're just around them so much more.
No, not that much more.
But what I'm saying is it's equitable, the amount we're around people. And from what I've observed, I guess unless the 3 nights a week when I'm, you know, in Toronto commuting must be hell.
No, they're fine. They're good.
You do not handle their screaming in the same way. That's not to say.
How do I handle it?
You get very like, you know, when people are like, I've had it up to here. You get up to there quickly.
Yeah. When are like in what situation? Like at bedtime?
Anytime throughout the day, at any point, I find it can change your mood, right? Like if the kids are screaming, where I almost ignore the kids screaming.
I ignore the kids screaming so much.
Okay, well, my theory can be wrong. You can be grossly offended. This is just my opinion and what I've noticed and what I've talked to you about. Like when the kids are screaming, I'll go, Alex, let's just pretend that they're just kids and let's not let it affect you and I, right?
I let Betty go and have tantrums like on the stairs and everything, and I'll just let her do it because I'm like, she just has to get this out of her system. And I let that happen every day.
Okay. Well, this must be the 3 nights that I'm not around. I don't see it.
Oh, man. I do think I disagree with that. I'll meditate on that longer, but I do think I disagree.
Meditate. Oh, my goodness. Reflect. On the mic. Okay.
Okay, the last thing that I want to talk about is what parents want for their days, like for Mother's Day, for Father's Day. I keep seeing Mother's Day stuff coming out and, you know, people promoting different things for Mother's Day. And then Father's Day is what, in June or July?
It's in June.
June. And I was thinking, like, some people are like, oh, I want to go away with my girlfriends for 2 nights or whatever it is. And I was like, that kind of defeats, in my mind, you know, to each their own, what they need and what they want and what they maybe don't get to do. But that defeats for me the purpose of like Mother's Day. All I want to do is like be around the family, but then not lift a finger. You know what I mean? And it's like, I don't want to go off on my own wine tasting for the whole day, at least not right now. I want like, because right now, it's so important to the kids too, and they love those days. Like, they love making the cards and treating you special and everything. And that's such a huge part of it, is that kind of cuteness and that connection. And I was just wondering if that's the same vibe for Father's Day or not, because I know a lot of dads like to, you know, go off to the golf course or something.
First off, Father's Day is barely a holiday. Case in point, you didn't even know which month it was in.
No, I know it's June.
No, you didn't.
I wanted to make sure.
Alex, you wanted to make sure. Every man knows when Mother's Day is. Mother's Day is a legit holiday, and for good reason. I think moms deserve a better holiday than men. And this isn't me like, oh, he's such a freedom fighter for women, but Father's Day is not a holiday. It's just not. It's barely anything. It's, yeah, you might go out and play golf. I don't feel like I need to be catered to. I forget what month it is sometimes. I'm not even here to fight like us men need a better Father's Day. I don't care about it. It's nothing to me. The gifts are way worse on Father's Day. Like everything. It just isn't a thing. Not you. I'm sure you do great things.
I was going to say, I got you sweet gifts.
Did you? What'd you get me?
I'm pretty sure I got.
You can't remember.
No. Well, because your birthday and Father's Day are a month apart. So sometimes I get confused what I got you for each. But I know that for your birthday, I got you a really sweet like designer sweater you wanted. It was like a limited edition thing. It was very cool. And then I think for Father's Day, I got you Skims stuff. Not Skims stuff, because that was new, their men's collection. But I got you, I think I got you your favorite underwear. I got you something good. I take it very seriously, the present giving on Father's Day. I do.
Okay.
Whatever I got you, it was good.
Yeah. And I'm not complaining. I think Mother's Day is a bigger event. And it's also what you care about. And you care about Mother's Day a lot. I'm not like, on Father's Day, I'm not lifting a finger. I'm just not like that. But
here's the thing. I end up always lifting fingers. You can't not as a parent. But it's like you want to do it as little as possible. You know what I mean?
Yes, I know. Yeah, and it's Mother's Day is a great holiday. I love it. It's also my birthday and Lucy's birthday. So it's something I dread and love.
Yeah, it's going to be funny this year because like her birthday party we're going to do on May 11th, which is the day before Mother's Day. And then the actual birthdays and Mother's Day are all on the same day.
Well, what's tough about Mother's Day in particular, I find there was a lot of moms. Like, you know, my mom just passed, so there's one less mom. But there's a lot, like, why are you laughing? I'm not saying that's a good thing.
One less mom.
Well, I'm saying when we had the full mom roster.
Yes, yes.
There's a lot of people you want to consider. You don't want anyone to feel left out. Everyone needs to get their flower delivery and their moment and their time. So, you know, if let's say the three other moms beside you, that could take 3 hours and that's taking away from your time. So it's almost like every mom's mini birthday. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you don't want to lift a finger. So you're like catatonic on the couch.
Get kind out of here.
With a glass of champagne. And
I wish.
It's just, it's a lot. And it's usually around my birthday and then there's stress on that. And it's Lucy's birthday. So there's a lot going on these Mother's Days.
And especially because Lucy makes a huge deal about her birthday too. She loves it. She loves her birthday like I love Mother's Day.
Yes.
But no, it's good. And just to, we have so many moms because Shane also has a stepmom who you guys know is Nona. And she lives out of the city. So I know in previous Mother's Days, we've also driven to Oakville.
Yeah. So that's you know, it's, you drive there, which is 40 minutes to an hour. Mm-hmm. Usually an hour when we go at high volume times, especially on like a Mother's Day. Hang out for half an hour to an hour and then come back. So that's, let's say 2.5 to 3 hours.
Oh, yeah.
Just right there. Going to your parents, your mom, an hour. Mm-hmm. Spending time with you, which I love. And yeah, Mother's Day. It's a good day. It's a great day. Some say the best.
Look, you dingus. What? All I want for Mother's Day is the same thing I give you on Father's Day. And I make nice times on Father's Day.
Alex, you couldn't remember what you got me on Father's Day if your life depended on it.
I could look back in my pictures on my phone and then I would see Shane. Oh, I don't remember what I had for breakfast. Okay. Mm-hmm. Listen, okay? Go to Granddad's or get brunch from somewhere else. Granddad's is the best donut place in Hamilton, by the way. You bring it back. You make things look nice. You tidy up for the parent.
Are you talking about Mother's Day or Father's Day?
This is what I do for Father's Day.
Oh, okay.
And actually, I had a wedding last Father's Day, and I had to go to Ottawa for it. And so the wedding was on the Saturday. Father's Day was the Sunday. Yeah. And we left, I barely drank anything at the wedding, started being in shape, and we left at like 5:30 in the morning just to be home on time for Father's Day. It was hard. It was my best friend from high school's wedding. I couldn't miss it.
You're the master of restraint.
I am. Shane, it was amazing. We left so early in the morning and my dad drove me, said I wouldn't have to take the train so we could go sooner. Yeah. So it was kind of nice because then I got to give him, like, you know, spend the Father's Day in the car with him, chatting and listening to music. And then I still got home at like 9:30, 10 in the morning and was able to scrounge up a Father's Day for you.
And it was unforgettable.
I'm going to look back at my pictures just so I know what we did. So I can confirm with myself that it was a nice day.
Nice. No, I'm sure it was. I think every day is nice. I know we're arguing like cats and dogs on this podcast, but I think every day is nice with you.
Really?
It's not going to be nice when we stop recording and I get yelled at for things.
You hate the kids screaming.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's such a BS.
Alex, how many times have we talked about it, though?
Look, the only time I get frustrated with it is when I feel like I could be getting more support or something. And then
more support? What are you
talking? When they're screaming. If they're only screaming, Alex, at me and not screaming at you.
They're general screaming. I don't think they're directing their screaming. And I would say it's fairly equal of who's getting screamed at.
It is.
All I do is I try to say to you, let's not it affect our moods to each other.
Okay, on that.
But we've talked about this.
I know that. Okay, I know that.
But you're acting like you don't know about it on the microphone here.
I think at a height like 6 months ago, and you got to say, it has definitely changed. Like, no longer does bedtime really stress me out or piss me off anymore. Like, I come down.
You've gotten much better about it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because I've been actively, Well, at first it was like actively trying not to let it get to me, and now it's a lot easier for the most part.
But you do still have like right a, you do the thing where you clench your jaw and you clench your fist and you do like a little twitch, and I'm like, Alex, don't scare me.
You gotta just release really quickly in some way. It and might be a jaw clench.
You're absolutely right. You've gotten way better. Way better. You're 100% right. And I was kind of like talking about a previous version of yourself. But now that I think about it, you've gotten a lot better.
Thank you. And I don't think you're placating me either, because that is the truth.
I'm not. You have.
Thank you. All I wanted was that recognition.
Yep.
All right, Shane, do you want to move on to the question segment?
Let's do it.
Okay. Bring us in, baby.
This is the question section.
Okay? Mailbag.
You called it the question section. And I was going to say, this is the question section, but it's also called the mailbag segment at times. And this is where you, the listener, you submit questions. Why are you laughing? I'm doing my intro. Do you want it to be done?
I'm laughing at everything that we've just talked about. Sorry. Okay.
Well, if you can have one fan of the podcast, it might as well be us. Or, no, I'm a fan too. Two fans. Anyway, what are the questions here?
Sorry. I do love you, by the way.
I love you too.
Give me a smooch right now before you say another stupid word.
We're not saying we don't love each other because we have a mild argument that's going to blow up the second we stop recording.
Give me a kiss.
Okay, give me.
Okay, there you go.
That was so good.
I just hot. Did what you always do to
I
me.
I said hot. Go. What's the question?
Okay. How do you manage with all the negative comments from your video relating to the Taylor Swift album? So just to let us know, okay, I'm going to refresh my page right now. So Shane and I put out a video of, it was like us recorded it together. So it's to one of the videos or to one of the songs on the new album. To be honest, I don't even know what it's called, but there are currently 7,394 comments on that video. And I would say 7,000 of them are pretty nasty. My favorite one, though, was it happened the other day. I screenshotted it for Shane and said, "He too hot to be in your bed." Mm-hmm. But everybody's taking me down. That's fine. The joke is on them because I haven't even listened to the album.
Yeah, it's just a skit.
Just a skit. I like Taylor Swift. I'm not a super fan. Haven't listened to the album yet, but I plan to, and I plan to enjoy it.
Yeah, I don't, you know, people, what you realize, and especially during the pandemic when people were really locked into their phones, mm-hmm. if you do a satirical skit, even a skit that's overtly a parody, people will somehow think it's real.
Yeah.
Or think that that's your real opinion or that you're not just having fun. And it's always younger people. Or people who are really like sad and depressed mm-hmm. or mean. So yeah, you can't really take them seriously. So I don't think there's any real handling it.
No, I think like the first, you know, 10 comments kind of got me down slightly. I was like, oh man, people are taking this the wrong way. And then
down? Like I find I can only be heard if there's truth.
That's the thing. And there was no truth. But then, you know, by comment 100, you're like, oh man, there's a lot of angry people. By comment 3000, you're just feeling sorry for everybody who feels the need. And then you're also laughing because they're like, I hate Taylor Swift, get her off my feed. And it's like, oh no, pal, like by commenting on this, you are just putting more Taylor Swift in your feed. Like that's what happens with algorithms, right? Yeah. So they love commenting on anything Taylor Swift, and that's why they're just of getting course. Fed it.
To me, it's only offensive if it's not about the video or the content. It's just like, man, that guy's sweaty as hell. He looks like he's wearing a wig. What's wrong with his nose? Is that a prosthetic nose?
Sorry, are these comments?
Yeah, like we did the video with Hayden Christensen, I was sweating like a pig. I'm nervous to film this video with Hayden Christensen. It's in a kitchen. It's hot. There's no ventilation. There's three cameras on us. We're doing like a prank that he's mm-hmm. kind of in on, but not really. He doesn't know what
but
to expect.
But he liked it. Okay, bottom
I'm line. Wearing a long sleeve shirt and an apron. My hair is just emanating sweat. Mm-hmm. And my hair can look, depending on the day, it can either look great or like I'm wearing a fucked up wig with like doll hair. So my hair looks terrible. And then I'm just getting so nervous and like bloated or something. And then everyone's just commenting on how hideous I am. So that is what hurts my feelings. If it's like, man, this content is stupid or whatever, I'm like, oh, they don't get it. Or a lot of people think that video is real.
Yeah.
It's just, if it's about my appearance and I agree with it, it's uniquely personal. And that can only hurt me if it's something I've secretly thought and someone has brought out my deepest, darkest thoughts and distilled it in a message. That is painful.
See, generally, if people do that on Instagram, though, I will message them privately and be like, hey, like, why are you getting so personally awful on this silly Instagram video? And then usually they're shocked.
Checkmate. Oh, my God.
That's what they're like. And then they usually say sorry and delete the comment. And it's just a reminder to those people that what they say, they're saying to real people. You know what I mean?
One person commented on Lucy's appearance and said she looked like a stressed out 40-year-old or something.
Yeah.
And that made me upset. And I went out after, I didn't go after them. I contacted them. Turns out they were autistic. I felt a little bad. They couldn't remember which comment it was.
They just leave hate comments all day long?
Well, I don't know.
On it's children?
Just, yeah. And we did release a video where we made fun of.
As a baby. But yeah, it wasn't even that video.
I know. I'm just trying to think about counterpoints here.
No, these people, you know, it's just mean, and no matter your background, it's good to know that you shouldn't be rude to people online. But the next question, I like this one because of the opening of this podcast. What are the strengths and weaknesses of your relationship?
Weakness is your inability to handle any children screaming.
Oh, and yours is your inability to handle the possibility of the situation being differently than you remembered it.
Maybe my inability to understand what the hell you're talking about is.
Okay, what's the strength? What's the strength
of our relationship? Mm-hmm. We're very close friends.
We are very close friends. We were talking about that yesterday.
Yeah, I think we're very close friends who always hang out. We're not like, and nothing's wrong with this other type of couple that kind of has their alone time apart and then they come together for certain moments. It's kind of like, you know how some people, they have a bank account that's split, but then they have this little fund that they both siphon money into? Some people do that with their time.
Yeah,
they have this separate life. And then they have this these little pockets where they plan to hang out together. Some marriages are like that. Whereas our marriage is like the way we do our bank account, where all of our time, all of our money in our bank account is together. All of our time is spent together when we're home. And we watch all the same shows. We go out to, if I go to a movie, you're coming with me.
We're about to read all the same books.
Yeah. And even if we're not reading the same book, if you're reading, I'm reading.
Well, I wonder if that, like, how you do your banking is emblematic of how you allocate your time in your relationship. Like, I wonder of all the couples, you know, if you take survey all the couples that do the totally throwing your money all into one pot.
Yeah.
I wonder if they treat their time similar. And then I wonder if the couples that have, you know, their own bank accounts and siphon a little bit into like a house or family account, if it's also emblematic of how they spend their time or how much crossover there is.
I think there's a lot, and there's obviously exceptions to the rule, but I find, like, you know, if someone's a little bit more disorganized, they're usually a little bit more fun. And if somebody's really neat and together, they're more conservative and quiet probably. That, you know, exceptions to every rule. You can be very fun even if you're very neat and organized and anal.
Well, see, I like our Tuesday nights. Tuesday nights, you play ball in a men's league that you care a lot about and that I really like hearing about. It's a men's basketball league. And then Tuesday nights, that's when I get the bulk of my reading done. You know, I sit down for maybe 2 hours before bed and just read a ton. And it's super nice.
Yeah. It's not to say we don't live a separate life. We have separate lives. I go to work, I commute. But if I'm home and I'm doing something, I'm doing it with you. So I think that is a strength.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Next question. Check out the article in Australia about a baby at a comedy show. The mom and baby were asked to leave because the show isn't for anybody under the age of 15. It's caused a huge uproar here. The mom recently was on live TV with the baby. Okay, so I looked this up. Do you know this comic? Hold on, I got his name.
Jim Jeffries?
Arj Baker.
No.
Okay, so it's at this show. I'm going to paint the scene for you, Shane, before I get your take on it. So they're at a comedy show. The show had just started, I guess. And then there was like a little bit of noise coming, like a little bit of gurgling, like a newborn baby type gurgling.
Yeah.
And then he saw that there was a baby in the audience. So then he started like poking fun, being like, that baby better not make any more noise. And then like you know, 10 minutes later, the baby kind of started that again. And then the mom breastfed the baby to feed it, make it go to sleep or make it be quiet, whatever. And then as she's breastfeeding, he said, he asked the mom, like on mic in front of everybody, she told her the baby wasn't allowed there and that they had to leave. So then this mom on her way out, he's like, I'll give you a full refund and all this stuff. And he's like saying things, but then people in the audience like started yelling at the mom as well as she's leaving.
Did I see the clip?
I don't have a clip. I only have the articles.
Okay.
But his thing was, it was disrupting the audio of the show, which I understand. And then the mom's thing was that it was a baby making like newborn gurgling, and then I fed it with the hopes that it would go to sleep. But you didn't even get that far. And like, what's the difference between a baby gurgling and like somebody in the audience talking or ordering a drink or something? So I get it from both perspectives. However, what I don't like is that, why didn't the people that worked at the club just not let them in the first place so that she didn't have to go through the embarrassment of leaving with a baby that was generally being quiet? You know what I mean? Like, that does sound humiliating. Mom was saying how she was humiliated. I understand him that he doesn't want, like, he doesn't know how the baby's going to react for the rest of his show. Like,
no one gonna does. Start,
exactly.
That baby could be perfectly quiet the whole show. It's still a disruption because you have anxiety as the performer wondering if the baby's going to be like that the whole show. Like, back to our men's basketball team for a second.
Yeah.
So we have two great shot blockers on the team. So the first couple games, they block so many shots that now the rest of the season, they're not blocking as many shots because people know that they can't shoot near them.
Right.
But they're altering people's shots without even blocking them because of the reputation of how they are. And it's giving other teams anxiety to shoot. So that baby might be perfect. But as your performer, you're distracted. You're like, oh, fuck, there's a baby here. Okay. Okay. Now she's breastfeeding. Breastfeeding creates can create a weird vibe at a comedy show. It's not to say you can't breastfeed in public, but when someone's on a bench in a mall, that's a lot different than if a woman is breastfeeding beside me at a comedy show with a baby trying to soothe it. And that's an uncomfortable scenario, I think. Do you think it's fine to have a baby at a comedy show? I think that is ridiculous to do that. And I know they even have a rule that people under 15 aren't allowed to be at the show. And obviously it's because the material is going to be too crass for them. And no, babies don't understand English until they're like 2.5. But it's the baby's a distraction, and that's not what you want.
Well, so I get that. Like, here's the thing. It's, you know, if the mom is concerned because she's breastfeeding, so she doesn't want to leave the baby for a certain amount of time.
Why do you need to go to a comedy show if you have the baby? Get a babysitter.
Well, that's the thing. Your baby, you're not leaving the baby for a long period of time. Like, if it's you're going out for dinner and all this stuff and the whole event takes a long time, I get that. Bring the baby. Like, I breastfeed in restaurants all the time. But at a comedy show, that's going to be like an hour. So that's an easy situation to leave the baby. And it's like, you're not going to bring your kids just because you can't get a babysitter. It's either you get a babysitter or you don't go. You know what I mean? But I do think that it allows for maybe a good conversation about like, what if somebody has other needs? What about adults ordering drinks? What about all those noises? Like, usually the bars are at the back, right? So if you're ordering a drink, you can go. It's out of the
people whisper
audio.
And if you're talking too loud at a show, you get kicked out also.
Oh, 100%. Because it is quiet. However, I think that the staff should have done that, or that he could have. I'm wondering if, like, maybe instead of asking her to leave, and there were 700 people there. So it was also a big auditorium. It wasn't like a tiny little show. So why didn't they maybe make somewhere for her at the back where maybe he, because if it's 700 people and she was not sitting closer to the stage, he's never going to hear the baby. You know what I mean? If it's just like gurgling that it wants food. So
people are pretty good at comedy shows at being quiet when someone's telling a joke. And a gurgle, you can hear. You could hear a pin drop at a comedy show when some people are performing.
I just think there's another way around it. Like, even if he just went off stage for 1 second and just like told a worker to maybe ask them to leave privately.
Oh my goodness, Alex. That is... Have you ever watched a comedy show?
Yeah.
Do you know that disrupts the entire flow? He might have been filming for some purpose, for his like online clips or something. That disrupts the whole vibe, the whole momentum. Comedy is all about momentum.
But you don't think that telling her publicly anyway, like he's still asking her to leave.
You're a comedian. I guarantee you he did it with humor.
Mm-hmm. See, I got, and that's the thing. I've read what he was saying. I haven't heard it. So I haven't heard the tone.
Yeah, the tone is all that matters. It's Norm MacDonald's not funny reading what he says. And if it is funny, it's only because you're reading it in his cadence.
Mm-hmm.
It can't be all about the audience.
There's
a rule. It's
yeah. Nobody, and that's why the club should have taken care of it before they even got in.
It's intimidating. A woman comes in with a baby. You want to say, okay, there's an exceptionality because obviously this rule is mainly because we don't want underage people hearing crass humor. Then you see a woman with a baby. It's like, oh, whatever. You have sympathy. But that woman has to know she's breaking a rule. Mm-hmm. And if she's asked to leave, leave. And don't make a big scene of it.
Well, that's, yeah.
You have to have empathy for the performer. Because that's a stressful job. And the comedian always has to be cool and all this. But to act like the comedian has to go off stage, talk to somebody, then come out and say, oh, sorry, I was in the middle of my set. But I just had to go kick a woman out. That sounds even worse than doing it publicly. It's at least they're acknowledging the elephant in the room.
I agree. I agree with that on second thought. But I do think the club should have handled it in the first place. And just because you are a parent doesn't obviously, like, we can't, you get a babysitter for something like that. Honestly, you get a babysitter or you just go another time when you can. Like, is Arj Baker, does he mean that much to you in your life that you have to go?
Who knows? Maybe Arj Baker is the best comedian in the world. But I think if that's the case, you got to get a babysitter, find something. Hopefully your partner, you could say, listen, Arj is my guy. Can you look after the thing? Going out for dinner too. If you want to go out with the best intentions, it's going to be fine. I'm going to bring the baby. I'm going to soothe it.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes you throw those plans out the window because it's like, this isn't worth it because we're disrupting other people so much. And you call an audible, you leave. Planes are way different. You're traveling. You're trying to get to a destination. You have to give the baby grace. It's like, we're not here to where we have to be quiet. We're going to give this mom and this baby grace.
I've also never heard, like newborns, I've never heard a newborn like flipping out so long at dinner. Like that never happens because parents soothe it or parents go and bounce around. And you know what I mean? Like you take the baby knowing that, oh, you know, I might have to stand up for 20 minutes of this dinner and bounce around by the front door, at the seat, or whatever it is.
But let's say we go to the keg.
Yeah.
Betty flips out. She has a scene like she did at Walmart or wherever you are.
Yeah.
I'm willing to call an audible and just pick her up and get out of there.
Same.
Say, hey, can we just wrap this up? And I leave on my, because I want to leave. I don't want to just be like, you know how kids are. And
no, 100%.
Be potentially bothering other people.
Yeah.
So.
No, 100%. And that's your responsibility as a parent.
Yeah.
As well, I think. But...
Hot topic, hot debate here. There's a lot, it's tense, you know.
Okay, I've got our next question. I'm almost in my third trimester with baby number two. Were you more nervous about labor the first time because of the unknown or the second time because of everything that you knew about labor and what it could be? I was, you know what? I'm gonna say I was, my first instinct is to say I was more nervous the first time. But then I'm wondering if I go back and listen to myself talking, even on this podcast, am I going to say I was more nervous the second time because I know I had to get an episiotomy things. I think I was more nervous the first time because the second time I was like, look, I had a really bad birth. The first time, really hard birth, really like my body went through a lot of trauma and they weren't putting the needle?
Epidural
in, right? There was just so many things, bad episiotomy, that was like awful recovery. And so many things went wrong that I think a huge part of me was like, look, that happened. I knew what happened with my friends' births, some of their incredibly traumatic births. And I was like, just knowing that all these things happen is, I think, a comfort. And a huge comfort to me also was having been through it with Shane once before. So I found it a lot easier to direct him to do what I needed. And he also found it easier, from my point of view, in like just naturally, instinctively doing things that he knew would be helpful. And it was really relaxed. Both times were pretty relaxed until I started pushing. But like the second time was, I think it was a lot more relaxed leading up to it.
Betty just slid out of there in like a minute.
Yeah, no, she did. But like the lead up even, You know what I mean? Because the first time, so I was induced both times. Like I had the Foley balloon, then I had the Pitocin drip. So the first time, I didn't know what the heck was going on with me. Like they put that balloon in. The second time, you just set me up. Like I got the Foley in at the hospital. We came home. You set me up upstairs with Fleabag all day and like pizza and food and nutritious snacks.
What is this, Mother's Day?
It was a really relaxing day. And I sat up there and you'd bring me hot water bottles like to manage the cramping from the balloon and everything. And it was like, it was pretty nice. And it was pretty stress-free.
I don't think the first birth was hard. I think you're mixing up the afterbirth with the birth. Because the first birth, I think it was easier than you expected. But I think the recovery from the birth was way harder.
And that's what she's asking. She's like, is knowing what happens at birth and everything, does that make you more nervous? Did it make me more nervous for the second one?
I think, and you know, I'm speaking for you here, so jump in. I think you were less nervous for the second birth, but way more nervous for the after part.
That's the perfect way of putting it. Just know, but luckily, I didn't need an episiotomy the second time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that grosses me out so much. Oh, my God.
Shane.
Oh, the fact
I'm the one that went
that,
through it. I know.
I know, but that freaks me out.
Do you remember I couldn't sit down on a seat like in the car or anything for like 2 months without having a towel in like a donut shape underneath
me? Makes me ill thinking about it.
Yeah. Oh, it was horrendous. But yeah, no, it was awful. But yeah, the second time I did feel like it was a lot easier to be chill about. But if you're having thoughts where you're like nervous because you know how birth can go, also remind yourself that birth can go incredibly well and incredibly easily. And you don't know how it's going to go until you're in the middle of it. So give yourself the benefit of the doubt and give your body the benefit of the doubt and allow yourself to just relax a little bit with the knowledge you have.
Yeah, expect the worst, hope for the best.
There you go. The next question that I've got, have you made up your mind about an e-reader, the Kobo or the Kindle? So, okay, so many opinions about this. This was actually one of my most commented on story sets in like 2 months. It was wild. People have strong opinions on Kobos versus Kindles. The big plus for the Kobo is that you can download the library app called Libby, and then you can like get free books from the library. However, you often, if it's a new release that you're excited about, you have to go on a waiting list. And sometimes you only have the book for 7 days. That's just not enough for me. Like I'm just way too busy to finish a book in 7 days. And I also don't want to wait. Like if there's a book that I'm so excited for it to be released, it's like I want it on release day. This is why I work. This is why I'm an adult and work really hard for things that I want. Because like I don't want to wait 6 months just to get the book for free. I want to pay the $30 and get it now because I want to enjoy. Those are the things that I enjoy. You know what I mean? So
adult people who rent from the library are usually single or childless.
No, a lot of moms, a lot of people do the library because here's
how do
the
they
other
have
thing.
The time to fit in that 7 day thing?
Not all releases. Like if there's a new release and it's really hot, but a lot of other books, you'll have a lot longer with it.
But you only want to read the hottest releases.
Sometimes, but it's like I see so much value in it because reading is expensive. Like I look at the books I purchased over the last 6 months and it's an expensive hobby. So if I can get, you know, even 3/4 of those releases for free from the library, then that to me is so worth it.
I think most people use the library. I'm not saying moms don't use it. Are people like my sister?
No, I don't know. I don't know. You know what? I thought so too until I had this huge like swell of people talking to me on Instagram.
Let me Google it.
Do it. But I think I want to go Kindle Unlimited. So from what I've seen, the selection on Kindle Unlimited isn't the best. Like, it's just not the best. But I figure that will be good enough. And then I'll just buy the new releases as they come. And then I can get Libby on my phone. And then for those books, I'll get for free on my phone. So it's like if I want to read Dune, which has been around for ages, so there shouldn't be too much of a wait list. It's like I can read that, get it for free, whatever. And then, you know, the A Court of Thorns and Roses series or the new Fourth Wing books, whatever it is, those I'll just suck it up and buy just because I want to read them ASAP, you know?
Can't find any library statistics. Okay. I'll find it.
So, yeah. So, I'm going to go Kindle. And a lot of people were telling me to get the Kindle Paperwhite. I was looking up the differences between that and the other ones. It's like $20 more and seems better. So, I don't know. I might just get that one. Kindle Paperwhite. That's what I'm going to go with. Next question. Can you share your Detroit itinerary that you guys loved so much? And do you have any other baby moon destinations within 5 hours of Hamilton, if you would like to drive?
Do you have the itinerary or do you just like send it to them?
I have the actual itinerary here. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I want to make a couple points.
Why not just read the whole thing?
Okay. So we stayed at the Detroit Club. This is day one.
Amazing hotel. The best.
Phenomenal. Shane and I, we like kind of classic traditional style hotels a lot of the times.
Wasn't even that expensive either.
No, it wasn't.
But it was like you feel like you're in the most expensive hotel in the world.
So it was a private club for the last 150 years. And they just opened it up to the public to be able to stay there. And it's just got that like elegance of just a super rich person's multi-room house that they've opened up to. It is very cool. The service is beautiful. It is so comfortable. Highly recommend staying at the Detroit Club. We had dinner at their restaurant the first night, which was amazing. We had the what do you call that rib? Like prime rib, whatever. Prime. Phenomenal.
Best coffee probably I've ever had at that hotel. They give me the little, what's it called? The little thing, the little French press, French press. Oh, that was, I think about the coffee there and I never think about coffee like that.
They have a cigar bar in the hotel too, like on one of the upper floors. And look, if you're going on a baby moon, you're not going to want to go to the cigar bar, obviously.
What'd you call it?
Cigar bar.
Oh, baby boon, I heard.
Baby moon.
Okay.
And maybe it's a baby moon. But it's a fun cigar bar. We are not like big cigar smokers. I don't think I had ever had a full cigar until we went up to this place. And we just had so much fun. Because again, it's like really ritzy. It doesn't even smell like smoke outside. Like they have a crazy ventilation system. But it was super fun. And then as far as drinks and restaurants and places to go, you got to go to Cafe de Mongos. I think it's only open on Fridays or Saturdays or maybe only Saturdays.
It's the best place, the best vibe. You feel like you're in a Quentin Tarantino movie. In fact, Tarantino has actually visited there. Mm-hmm. The guy who owns it is always there.
He's like 95.
He seems much younger than that, but he's like a cool Tarantino-esque character. It's very, you know, in Pulp Fiction when... the guy's like, my name's Paul and what's up with y'all or something like that. The guy who does that rhyme.
Oh, my name's Buck and
No, that's Kill Bill. Talking about.
Oh, in Pulp Fiction.
Pulp Fiction. He's like, my name's Paul and how are y'all or whatever. That he looks like that guy. Now I have to pull him up. I can't believe
But Cafe de Mongo is very cool. I think they only serve grilled cheese and like chips.
The best grilled cheese.
It's amazing.
The best chips.
And they just have the same band every Saturday. They've had them coming in every single Saturday night for like 10 years. It's just a fun band. And I say this is definitely a place. Oh, exactly, Shane. That is that guy. And this is a place that I think I would argue if you have the stamina to stay up a little bit later, you can go on a baby moon because you just don't order booze. You just get a grilled cheese, delicious for that pregnant tummy, and listen to the fun music, maybe dance a little. It is super.
Oh, Vincent Vega, our man in Amsterdam. Jules, we feel our man in Englewood. Get your asses on in here. God damn. Look at what's up with them clothes.
You don't even want to know. Chew my food, my mouth closed, laugh at her fucking jokes, and that's it.
Hey, my name's Paul. This is between y'all.
That's all I wanted. Use that clip only. Like, you don't have to, Erica. But that's, I can't believe you don't know. He's exactly like that.
No, that makes so much sense. Now you showed me his photo. 100%. But truly, de Mongo's is like a very unique place to Detroit. You got to go. It is so much fun. A couple other places that I would say definitely go to. Oh, at the Detroit Club, they have a spa down low. So like in the basement, they have a full spa with an awesome pool, saunas, massages. Like they offer a ton of body treatments. If you're going on a baby moon, go get some amazing massages.
Your work might cover it. Your insurance.
Oh my God, check that out. That worked for us. Next, Cliff's Bells. So is it Cliff's Bells? Yeah, Cliff Bells Jazz Club.
The best.
It is so cool. It's like just right out of a movie about jazz. Like, it's just, it's what you want, what you picture in your mind when you think jazz club. It's like you go in, it's dimly lit, everything is ornate and beautiful. You sit down, you can get served, you can get dinner there. And then they just have the most incredible performers on, and it's small. It's like a restaurant, right? So it's like you're seeing these incredible performers, but not in a big auditorium. You're seeing them like in a restaurant
kind of vibe. The atmosphere is just what you want. It's something maybe you've always looked for or like you said, seen in a movie, but never been able to experience. And it's lives up to it.
Yeah. And whether they have like a local act or somebody coming in, always worth it to see. We saw somebody who was local. She was a professor of music at Detroit, like at a college there, and just phenomenal show. Like, it was so fun. Highly recommend that. Grey Ghost, that one comes highly recommended. We did not like it. It's a restaurant.
Fine. It was fine.
It was
a little too pretentious and weird.
Yeah. The Eastern Market's lots of fun during the day. It's just like 5 markets in one, super fun to walk through. And then as far as other food, Slow's Barbecue is good. The Dime Store is good for breakfast. And then our favorite place just reopened. We weren't even able to go last time. What was it called? Peterborough.
Yes.
The Peterborough it's like Asian fusion.
But it has new owners now.
Yes.
Let me see this list. What else is on this? Okay. Some market. Candy Bar. What was Candy Bar?
Candy Bar, we didn't go, but you went last time you were there, Shane. You went there with Max and Mike.
Candy Bar is great.
Yes.
Oh my God. It looks awesome. Go to Candy Bar. That's one of my favorite restaurants. You would love it there.
That's why I put it on our, here's the thing. I put it on our itinerary for 2 nights to go there because I really wanted to.
What was the one bar we went to with the mixologist? Who's the best?
Oh, Shane, I don't even, that wasn't on our itinerary because we just found out about that like while we were there. We took a cab out of like the downtown area to this wicked bar. And it was just like, it's a bar for cocktail appreciators. But if you're on Baby Moon, she's not going to like it. But it's like phenomenal.
Oh, because she can. If you go for the vibe, though.
Oh, the vibe is amazing, and they'll have stuff.
Yeah, and no, especially it's fun. Like one shot of absinthe for not you but your partner gets them that perfect vibe.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Where they're not like too drunk or anything.
Oh, and they've got like a nice absinthe selection. Oh, and then the museum. The museum there is amazing. The Detroit Institute of the Arts. It's an incredible museum. It is so worth it to go and walk around. They have gorgeous art. They have a huge mural by Diego Rivera, right? Like a huge one. It's a very cool museum and it is very worth going to. But as far as other Baby Moon destinations within like, you know, a drive to Hamilton, go to Muskoka's. Rent out. Like, you can rent out some sweet cottages with like hot tubs. Go to Deerhurst Resort. That's up that way. Amazing place to go. We love going to Niagara, Pillar and Post. Prince Edward County, go in the county. They've got so many amazing places in Picton, in Wellington. Again, there's so many Airbnbs with like hot tubs and things. You could just, there are tons of places in Ontario I think you can go. We're going to Millcroft in 2 weeks for your birthday. We're going to stay at the Millcroft Inn and Spa, I think it's called.
We are, but Alex, I think I have to go right now.
All right, folks. Well, thank you so much for listening to us ramble on, argue, assault your ears, hopefully not too badly. We appreciate you guys. And thank you so much for listening to
This Family Tree Podcast,
episode 205.